about to be out of there like last year. Can you believe it? Crimes and treasons. CITR 101.9 FM. It's your boy, big old Jules, and we got a special, kind of a shocking announcement. That's it for me, kind of, in a weird way. Kind of fading out from the show. I got a job, like a real job, not selling coke anymore. I hope I'll have to
go back to slanging,
yeah, yo, to get my mayo. Anyway, or I'm out of here. Yeah, I got a job. I'm teaching, or I'm doing art with people with autism. I'm really feeling it, but it happens to be during while the show's going on. So I'm still going to come in after work and stuff, but I'm kind of around and stuff. So anyway, that's it.
These busy peoples, man. These are special peoples, you know. They can't just like stop and do a radio show every once in a while.
Can't be like that.
So maybe if you're lucky, peoples, party pooples who have special guests.
Like that. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, if you don't know, Carnival is coming up. Anyway, y'all know, if you ain't listening to this music yet, Soca, the biggest music, my people's music, Trini music,
Mardi Gras is coming up too.
Mardi Gras could come up, but Soca's still the best.
Soca's still the best, man.
Anyway, it could all come up. Anyway, it's all lovely together. All the things all emerging together at once is Trini music, Soca, Carnival's coming up. We're having a big Carnival. Well, there's like lots of them showing up, so just make sure you head your way down to any of your Afro-Caribbean favorite stores and pick up some newsletters and pick up some flyers and make sure you come out to these carnivals because it's a big thing. Come check them out. I don't need to tell you anyone in Pacific, but just go. Anyway, Brennan's bleeding. We got to get out of here. Thanks for having me the rest of the like millions of years you guys have all listened, but I'm not going anywhere. I'm just not here every week all the time from 3 to 5. But Brennan is, so don't worry. The show's not going anywhere.
Put up.
Smoke weed.
I'm Hello, and welcome to the Pedal Revolutionary Show. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. It's a beautiful... Well, actually, there's a really strange thing in the sky today. If y'all are near a window, you might want to look out and see there's a, we're being visited by a giant comet, it seems to me. I don't know, something bright. You might want to use a special eclipse viewer to take a look at it. And that's very exciting for all of us who are committed to riding our bicycles throughout the winter time. My name is Ifni, and I'd like to wish everybody happy Flag Day. It's today is well, the first Flag Day ever was very exciting. Jean Chrétien, if you'll remember, when as he was walking through a crowd and he encountered a gentleman named Bill Clenet who shouted out "Chrétien au chômage," which means make Chrétien unemployed, and he gave him the old Shawinigan handshake and grabbed him by the neck. So happy Flag Day, everyone, and I hope Bill Clenet is out there celebrating just as much as the rest of us. This is the first day. This is the day that Canada got its new flag. But anyway, that's totally somewhat bike-related, not really at all. I'd just like to give you all a heads up about the theme of our show today. It's going to be bicycles in the military. And as many people know, there are a lot of different applications for bicycles. Some of them maybe don't spring to mind immediately, but this is what we're going to be heading up today. So we have some really interesting research that we've done, as well as an interview that'll be coming up later with a gentleman named Stefan Scherer. He was in a Swiss bicycle regiment for about 10 years. Kind of exciting. So just to give us a bit of background information, David Ripa is in the studio, and he has been kind enough to prepare a little bit of an exciting history report. So everyone get on the edge of your seats. Hi, David. How you doing?
I'm good. Ifni, yourself?
I'm pretty good, thank you. So can you give people who have never heard of such a thing or thought of such an application, maybe a bit of background about the historical uses of bicycles in the military?
Sure, no problem. The use of bicycles in the military dates back before World War I. The first well-documented military use of bicycles was in 1896 by the United States. Hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with the 25th Infantry.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, because you showed me some pictures. It's very exciting, though. And actually, this is kind of what got us on this subject, because this month is February is Black History Month. And so this is kind of how we came across this information, right?
That's correct. It is important to remember that these troops that we're going to be speaking about in the U.S. 25th Infantry never saw any combat.
Okay.
They were indeed African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
However, their unit leaders were white.
Mm.
In particular, in 1896, the U.S. Army was interested in experimenting with bicycles for moving troops, and so they needed to see if this was feasible or not for them.
Because at the time, I guess they would have been using... horseback only, or marching, or that's
yep,
about
that's
it.
That's correct. Horses okay. and marching. These troops were stationed in Fort Missoula, Montana, and they were given this epic test that they were going to ride their bicycles and gear from Fort Missoula to St. Louis, Missouri.
Wow. What kind of bikes were they on?
They were special-made bikes from Spalding.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with Spalding sports equipment.
They make
equipment.
Baseball equipment or something, right?
I believe okay. so, yeah. And they were made to the best specifications of the time and were actually donated by the company to the government for this test. The trip consisted of 20 men.
Mm-hmm.
Their ages ranged from 24 to 39. And five of them who had volunteered were on past bicycle tests with this regiment.
Mm.
They also had a bicycle mechanic along with them by the name of Private Findlay.
Okay.
He apparently broke... he fixed many broken front crowns, axles, pedals, and spokes.
What's a crown?
I'm not sure. Maybe somebody can call us and tell
okay.
us.
Oh, and by the way, if anyone has any questions for us about any of this material or bikes in the military, wants to make any comments, please feel free to give us a call at 604-UBC-CITR. Please continue.
No problem. They left Fort Missoula in June 14th, 1897. Their first day had very bad weather, with the muddy road conditions, but they were able to cover 56 miles, which is about approximately 80 kilometers. As they kept riding south, the mud was getting a lot worse because of the torrential downpours, so they decided to ride on the railways.
Wow.
In between the metal bars.
In between the tracks? Wow.
That's correct. However, they found that the hours and hours of riding over railway ties, they were getting numb hands, and it was very hard on them.
No doubt. Would they have been using pneumatic tires at the time?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's
the pneumatic tire was invented in 1888.
Okay. Well, there's a small blessing, I guess.
Yeah. They when they crossed the Continental Divide, they were in below freezing temperatures, and then to make situations worse, as they descended from the Continental Divide, they had to pedal through ankle deep water as the snow was melting around them.
Wow.
They were under pressure to ride very quickly in this trip, not only to prove themselves to the American government, but also to they only carried 2 days' worth of food with them, and their food was separated each 100-mile points. So they had to ride 50 miles every day, or else they wouldn't get any food.
Wow.
At the end of it. In fact, on their 10th day of riding, they ran out of food due to poor road conditions. At one point, they were only making 3 miles in 6 hours, and so therefore they ran out of food.
Hmm. And it strikes me, too, with a lot of the stuff that we've been reading about this trip and this regiment, that that the major challenge were the road conditions, right?
That is correct. And also, running out of food, they also ran out of water. Through Wyoming, South Dakota, Nebraska, it became a major issue because their only source of water were the water tanks on the side of the railways. But a lot of times they were too far away from the railways to divert over there and grab the water. So they ended up drinking water that was in puddles and rivers, and a lot of the men became quite ill in the trip. But none of these men stopped the journey because of sickness. The water problem, in fact, intensified in Nebraska. Extreme heat made them ride at nighttime in the moonlight and only in the early morning. One of the rides that they did for 50 miles, they did without water.
Holy man.
Yes, it's quite extreme. As they were going through Nebraska, to make things worse, as they were going through the sand hills, they found that their bikes would sink about 8 to 10 inches into the sand. And once again, they were forced to ride along the railway on those ties that were giving them the jarring effect.
Right.
They had to ride 272 kilometers on the railway in 43 degrees Celsius heat through Nebraska.
Wow.
On July 24th, they were approaching St. Louis, and they were met by hundreds of cyclists that rode out to meet the regiment and join them on their way into the city.
And we should remember, too, that the 1890s were essentially the golden era of bicycle transportation when it really became popularized with a lot of people. And people might also not be aware that the original lobbyists for paved roads were cyclists. So, interesting.
It is. It's fascinating.
Well,
when they reached the city, for the next few days, thousands of spectators visited their campsite and watched exhibition drills. The St. Louis Associated Cycling Corps even sponsored a parade in honor of their military guests. And quote to the St. Louis Star, "This was the most marvelous cycling trip in the history of the wheel and the most rapid military march on record," end quote.
So what came out of this then? I mean, they put a lot of time and energy into doing this test ride, and how was it received?
Well, perhaps maybe we could look at the stats from their trip, first of all, because this is what the American government would have looked at. They traveled 3,000 kilometers, first of all, and it took them 40 days. 34 of those days were spent traveling. 6 of them were used for rest and repairs. Due to the extreme road and weather conditions, the men pushed their bicycles nearly 640 kilometers up that trip.
Oh, my God. And these would have been single speeds, too.
Absolutely. They were averaging 52 miles a day, about 80 kilometers a day, but once they passed the sand hills, their rate increased to 60 miles per day.
How heavy were these bikes? I'm imagining them pushing them through all this mud and stuff like that.
They were about 69 pounds.
Oh, my God.
With gear and rifle, not including the rider.
69 pounds?
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Wow. So that's like me and a half.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But to answer your first question, the U.S. Army decided not to use bicycles after this test because there were a lot of horses available at the time. And the lack of good roads was an issue. And the country, America is so huge that at that time they decided the railway was a much better option.
Interesting. Okay. Cool. Well, and then, so they didn't see combat, you were saying earlier, and can we talk a little bit maybe about some other uses of bikes that happened subsequently?
In America?
Anywhere you like.
Okay.
You're driving.
The first recorded use of bicycles in combat, that might be a little more interesting, mm-hmm. was during the Jameson Raid in 1895. This is in South Africa, mm-hmm. Which preceded the Boer War
okay.
in 1899. In that war, military cyclists would be primarily used as scouts and messengers. However, there were several raids done by bicycle. Mm-hmm. And also the railroads were patrolled by these special two-man bicycles that were attached to the railroad with machine guns, and they would go back and forth to patrol.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's just fascinating researching this information. In World War I, the cycle-mounted infantry, scouts, messengers, and ambulance carriers were used extensively by both sides of the conflict.
Okay.
We can jump ahead to World War II. When Japan invaded China in 1937, they used approximately 50,000 bicycle troops to invade China. They found the bikes to be quiet and flexible way of moving thousands of troops, and the Japanese also found that the lack or not needing petroleum was a great asset to their war machine.
Right, because that was an issue in terms of supply for them at the time.
Absolutely. Huh. Most people forget that armies ride on supplies, mm-hmm. not ammunition.
Mm-hmm. And their stomachs. Right.
That too, yes. The Swedish Army actually operated 6 bicycle infantry regiments during the war and up to 1952. Mm-hmm. They were Swiss-made bikes, and the most common model was called the M42. And the M42 can still be found today as they sold them into surplus after 1952.
Ooh.
They're pretty basic bicycles, and you can see pictures of them on Wikipedia, actually.
Okay.
The Allied forces, that being the Americans, Canadians, and English, didn't use the bikes to the same extent as some of their European partners. However, there was one noted raid on a German radar installation that was conducted by airborne cycle commandos, as they called them.
Airborne cycle commandos. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love it. How did that work? They would drop them. They would drop like the bikes out of planes. What is that?
Well, they actually had these folding bikes that mm-hmm. were attached to their rucksacks, and then they could assemble them once they landed.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Drop and ride.
Drop and ride, yeah. The bicycle saw very little use after World War II, however, in modernized armies. But during the Vietnam War, the Viet Cong used bicycles quite a bit to ferry supplies along the Ho Chi Minh Trail. Mm. However, a lot of times they couldn't ride the bicycles because they were laden with so many supplies, they would attach a piece of bamboo to the handlebars and use it as a tiller. So they'd sort of walk the bike and use the bamboo stick to steer it.
Hmm.
And actually in China, this technique is still used today.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Now, modern time, the 2000s, we still see bicycles in military use. The Swiss Army mm-hmm. actually has bicycle regiments up until 2003.
Okay, and we're going to have an interview with one of those soldiers coming up a little bit later in the show, so everybody stay tuned for that. So don't say anything about that. Moving along.
No problem. And looking at Canada and America, the Canadians have never really used bicycles extensively in the Army.
Mm-hmm.
There is a famous picture from the landing on Normandy of the Reserve 9th Infantry with bicycles on one of those amphibious landing machines.
Mm-hmm.
However, once they got to the beaches, they realized that they couldn't use the bikes to get any further, so they were abandoned on the beach.
Hmm.
And this information comes to me actually from the Department of National Defense in Ottawa. They so kindly called me this morning and gave me a little history lesson, although mm-hmm. they said that this was one of the most unique questions ever posed to them about bicycles in the Canadian Army. And they said there was lots of jokes going around in the office yesterday.
Right, about equipment and...
Yes, exactly. So if we look at our brothers to the south,
mm-hmm.
there has been some
ancestors.
Claims. Ancestors, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. There has been some claims that the U.S. Special Forces used special mountain bikes during their invasion of Afghanistan in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this can't be verified at this time.
Mm-hmm.
And
we've been really trying, everybody. We've made a lot of interesting phone calls.
Exactly. So all I can say is maybe... Mm. U.S. Special Forces use bicycles in Afghanistan.
Wink, wink.
Yes, maybe. Wink, wink.
Because as we all know, bikes are bikes are the one of the most effective things you can use pretty much for anything. Oftentimes I'm making scrambled eggs and need to whip everything up and just kind of walk over to my drivetrain. Let's move. Oh, one thing I wanted to say too that I found out was about the in the Netherlands they have the Fanfare Band of the Royal Netherlands Army Mounted Regiment, and they uphold the tradition of the Music Corps of the bike regiment. They used to have one. It says their armed forces had a bike corps starting in 1894, and then in 1917 it kind of they also founded a bike music corps. So that's kind of, they have some cute photos of them all doing, standing by their bikes with their various instruments. So we're going to try to get some recordings of that, and there will be another military show coming up, particularly once we kind of are able to follow up some leads with the U.S. military as well, and the Department of Defense and the Pentagon are getting back to us.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
Did you give them your phone number?
Yeah, I also gave them, they already have my home address, so it's not really a big deal.
They're satellite is watching us as we speak.
That's right. I put the implant in my brain for them to save them the trouble. So let's maybe get to a little song. And we'd like to play a song called These Arms of Mine, no pun intended, by Betty Swain.
These arms of mine.
Welcome back to the Peddler Revolutionary Show, 101.9 FM. You are listening to Bicycles in the Military today. And in line with that theme, we've got someone on the line who's going to give us a traffic report. Skylar, can you hear us? No, he can't. Okay. We'll keep trying. Skylar, if you hear us, do chime in. That's all good. Okay, well, in the meantime, while we get Skylar up on the board, I'll give you a little bit of an idea about some upcoming events in the wonderful city of Vancouver. I'd like to wish good luck to all of the members of Team Canada who are off and running as of tonight and tomorrow to the Mini Bike Winter Olympics in Portland, Oregon. That'll be a weekend event taking place. There are chariot races and jousting, and there's a light ride, and we've got apparently tonight we're going to be riding the Olympic torch to... It's to a pile of mini bikes to start off the festivities. So we do have a couple of chariots in the running, and I wish everybody the best of luck bringing back the gold. Also, I'd like to say that Thursday the 15th, that's today at 8 p.m., there's going to be a car-free commercial drive strategy meeting, and that'll be at the Common Room at 1707 Charles. So if you want to get involved in the planning of that, you might want to head down there tonight. Also, tonight, there is going to be a Love Your Bike that's being hosted by Momentum. That's tonight between 7 and 9 p.m. It's a bike cleaning party, and you can go to Bikes on the Drive at 1320 Commercial Drive, and all the supplies are going to be provided by Bikes on the Drive. If you want more info, call 604-669-9850. And Skylar, can you hear us now, sweetie? There we go. Skylar, are you there? Super. Not yet. Okay, it's all good. So continuing on with the announcements, on Saturday the 17th, the VACC, that's the Vancouver Area Cycling Coalition, bless their hearts, is going to be doing a bike ride. And this is a ride to gather information and provide input to the city. So people are going to be paying attention to cycling conditions. And this ride is going to be Stanley Park. So people are going to gather at 9 a.m. for coffee. They're going to depart at 9:30 a.m. They're going to meet at Bojangles, that's the corner of Robson and Denman in the West End. So if you want more information, go to www.vacc.bc.ca/ Vancouver. Also coming up later on this month, of course, Critical Mass is going to be coming up the last Friday of the month, and that's going to be starting at the Vancouver Art Gallery. This month, it's going to be the 23rd of February, so just head on over. That's Georgia Street, and bring your bike. That's probably a good idea. If you got a little dog that likes to ride, you can bring it too. And, that'll be a family speed ride. It's just we all ride in a big old group and look out for each other and have a good time. So after that will be something called Velo Fusion, which happens at the Anza Club. Feel free to head down there afterwards. I'd like to wish good luck to Betty. I'm going to butcher her last name as usual, Kraswick. She unfortunately has been found guilty of criminal contempt, and she is getting sentenced on February the 19th. So we all wish her the best of luck. Let's see. Let's maybe get on with what we're doing. Let's put on another song. What do you say? Do you want to hit that up? Track number two, we're going to be listening to another song called Kill It Kid Rag in honor of Bikes in the Military.
And my mama down on 6th Avenue, women and men showing what they can do about Kill It Kid. I'm mama, let's kill it, kid. Out in the alley and in the streets, all the cats and boys you meet, you wanna kill it, kid. Hot mama, let's kill it, kid. Yeah, kill it. Beat it out. Beat it on down. Sister Kate Ralph, brother Moore, shove a shimmy across the floor, you wanna kill it, kid. Hot mama, let's kill it, kid. But after light about 1:30, we gonna dance from now to sun. Kill it, kid. Hot mama, let's kill it, kid. Ain't got no horn, ain't got no bar. Put out the lights, call the Lord. We gonna kill it, kid. Hot mama, let's kill it, kid. Yes, yes, yes. Bring another half a pint of gin. Then we go back, honey, we'll dance again. Put your hands well tied. Grab me, honey, and make me cry. We gonna kill it, kid. Kid. People come from miles around. I'm in mean, mind, want we'll to break them down. You want to kill it, kid. Oh, baby, let's kill it, kid. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everybody wants to kill it. Yeah, the gal from Eastern Maine. Why don't she kill that thing? She want to kill it, kid. Hot mama, let's kill it, kid. Yeah.
She can kill it on a running board. She won't kill it again. I'm all that kill it.
Well, right on. That was Kill It Kid Rag by Blind Willie McTell. And I hear breathing on the line. Skylar, is that you?
That is me.
Yay! Welcome to the Pedal Revolutionary Show.
I do know what I'm doing.
He does know what he's doing. We all do. Sometimes we just look like we don't. How you doing out there?
I'm very well, thank you. Yourself, ma'am?
I'm pretty good, sir. Where are you?
I'm standing on Beatty between the I'm sorry, I'm track standing on Beatty between Georgia and Dunsmuir.
What's
on the south side of the street.
Excellent. What's a track stand for people who don't know?
Well, it is perched on my bike rather lovely and precariously without touching anything and not generally going in any specific direction.
Right, so the only thing you can touch is your bike and you have to remain motionless, yes?
Hopefully motionless, if all goes well.
Excellent. Okay, so we'll do this whole thing while you're track standing. We'll all lend you moral support as we speak. So you're phoning in with the traffic report today, and of course, BD has one of the newer bike routes downtown. There's something else special about the location that you're at today. What's that?
Well, it happens to be directly in front of one of the older armories in Vancouver, and the only one in downtown Vancouver, as a matter of fact.
Oh, cool. Well, you're in front of, there's a big tank there, I believe, right?
There's actually, there's two. There's two tanks.
There's
and,
two tanks.
Two cannons, I might add.
Wow.
Yes, it's fairly visually impressive, one might add.
You're always on the outlook for the aesthetic aspects of life.
Oh,
that's
you know,
great.
The color matching here is just amazing.
Yeah, is that like light green and dark green?
with a little bit of just plain tan, I think we're going for too.
And actually, one of those tanks figured in the last Alley Kitten race. Listeners might remember Operation Meow, which was a courier unsanctioned street race on little children's bikes that happened, a couple weeks ago?
About 2 weeks ago now, I guess.
Awesome. And you were also involved in that as well. I think I seem to remember you being one of the sergeants?
Yes, I was happily administering a touch of gruel to, those lucky patrons of that particular checkpoint.
Uh-huh. And I would say you said a little bit. I seem to remember some people receiving three or four ladlefuls of hot, burning gruel that they had to eat before they could proceed onto the next check stop.
Oh, that was just that hungry look in their eyes. I could just tell that they were just famished and truly, truly hungry at heart. And
excellent.
I was the only way I could feed them. And you know?
That's right. So it's caring, right? Sharing is caring. I do remember
exactly.
Having to, I was one of the contestants in that race, and I remember having to get up on top of the tank and strike a pose. I believe that was what happened at that checkpoint. Kind of interesting. So what's going on with the traffic out there?
Well, as you would expect, we have a heavy flow of messengers exiting the core this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
A number of general commuters, as per average, I'm saying, in the last 20 minutes, I've seen maybe 10 to 15 coming out of the core.
Okay.
So bike traffic's a little low these days. There's a whole bunch going down south on, I guess that would be, I'm sorry, Georgia. Yeah, we've got a high flow of traffic going south on Georgia.
Would that be a motor vehicle traffic or?
Unfortunately, it would be vehicular traffic. It is a majority of vehicular traffic these days.
But the bike traffic seems to be flowing pretty consistently. No traffic and no bike traffic jams.
Yeah, no. There's been no accidents to report of. There's no glass on the road. We're looking at good road conditions. We've had some sun, so this road's had a chance to dry off. And
oh, is that what that thing is in the sky? I was wondering.
Yeah, I don't know. I've heard other reports, but that's the one I'm going with so far.
Right.
But if I hear anything else, I'll keep you updated.
Let me know if the aliens have come to take us all away. That would be. I want to get first in the line. Do everyone a big favor. Okay. Well, and one of the reasons I wanted to see if you could do our traffic report today too is that it is the military is a bit relevant to you as well.
Yes, it has been for a number of years. Incidentally,
how's that?
What do you mean? What do I mean?
Mm-hmm. Elaborate, sir.
A number of years ago, I happened to work for them for a little while.
Excellent. Was that COINTEL? Was that PSYOPs? What were you doing for them?
Well, if I told you, I'd have to kill you. But,
you already have to kill me. You keep talking. No action.
No, I used to teach survival.
Okay, really?
Oh, yes.
And that was for the DND?
Yes, our Department of National Defense.
Excellent. Wow. So can you maybe give our listeners a survival bicycle tip?
Survival bicycle tips? Well, there's everybody's favorite acronym. If you're lost, which is STOP, which would be stop, think, observe, and plan.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Which would be an excellent one to observe while on your bicycle.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Absolutely. It would be STOP, which is stop, think, observe, plan.
Nice. Which is kind of a good general rule of thumb.
That it is. That it is.
Hmm. Anything else you wanted to add to that?
Not necessarily. I don't know.
Not for free, right?
No.
Okay. Well, listen, Skylar, thank you so much for giving us a heads up about the Armory and Beattie. It was your Beattie and Dunsmuir?
Beattie and Dunsmuir, yes, ma'am.
Super. All right. Well, listen, thanks a lot and ride safe. How's your track stand?
We're still going. We're still going.
Right on. Okay. See you later, Skylar. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Okay, well, that was cool. We're going to go to another song, and then we're going to hear this fabulous... Oh, actually, we're going to go straight into the interview because we can't wait any longer. No, we're not. Pardon me?
I think you're forgetting about the public service announcements.
Oh, yes, I am. You're right. We need to serve the public. Let's serve the public, David, shall we?
On the last Friday of the month, the territorial mating call of the indigenous local cyclists is heard echoing through downtown Vancouver. Thousands of cyclists have once again reclaimed the streets and scared belligerent motorists. But now, you wonder what is next. The night is still young, and you're feeling a little frisky. After all, there are only so many car tires you can peel in a day. Well, we have the solution. VeloFusion Bicycle Dance Party. Burlesque, bands, dancing, DJs, and pirated movies. The last Friday of the month after critical mass. Come one, come all for a little primal rowdiness. Doors open at 7:30 p.m. The Answer Club.
Check this out. This is Chuck D.
And this is Flavor Flav. Public Enemy is letting y'all know about Black History Month.
February is Black History Month, but we like to say that every single month we should recognize the rich culture and heritage of black people. Although the battles have not been won yet, we should be proud to take some time out this month to explore the powerful and victorious lineage of our people.
That's right, sir. Don't be a vulture. Learn your culture.
P.E. salutes the history of black people and the history that we are yet to make.
That's right. Not a mistake.
Buffalo soldier, dread like a rasta. It was a buffalo soldier in the heart of America, stolen from Africa, brought to America. An arrival, fighting for survival. If you know your history, then you would know where you're coming from. Then you wouldn't have to ask me who the heck you would think I am. And just a buffalo soldier in the heart of America, from Africa, brought to America. Said he was fighting on arrival, fighting for survival. Said he was a buffalo soldier in the war for America. Said he, why yo yo, why yo yo yo, why yo yo. Yeah.
facing an arrival, fighting for survival, driven from the mainland to the heart of the Caribbean.
And you're back listening to CITR 101.9 FM out of the beautiful UBC campus. That was Buffalo Soldier, of course, by Bob Marley. And folks may know that Buffalo Soldier is a term that refers to African-American members of the U.S. military. It was originally the people who came up with that term were the Kiowa Nation. And it's a term of admiration when they encountered them in western Kansas. And the name is believed to be either a reference to the hair of the troops, which was said to resemble the mane of the buffalo, that's according to Wikipedia, or more general attributes such as ferocity, strength, and stamina, which the buffalo also shares. Kind of interesting. I mean, we were talking a bit about the 25th Infantry Regiment, and of course that kind of really highlighted the stamina of these troops, and we're going to listen to an interview with a gentleman who, as I mentioned earlier, belonged to the Swiss Bicycle Regiments, which were in operation until 2003, and you'll hear why he wanted to do that, and I would like to just go right to that because he can speak for himself. Thank you all for listening, and this is the Peddler Revolutionary Show.
Hello?
Oh, hi. My name is Ifni. I'm calling from Canada. I'm looking for Stefan.
Yes, I'm on the phone.
Oh, Stefan Schatter, thank you. I'm very happy to reach you.
Yeah.
How are you today?
I'm fine, but I must... First of all, I have to say I'm not really good in speaking English. We try it, huh?
Okay, me too. I'm not very good.
Yeah. Otherwise, I could speak in French.
You could, but my French, I think maybe your English is better than my French.
Oh, no.
But we can try French if we have too much trouble, but...
We try it, huh?
Okay. I just wanted to say that we're very happy that you're taking the time to talk to us about bicycles in the Swiss military. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I was a member of this unit of the cycle soldiers.
You were? Wow.
Yeah. That's why I wrote back.
Oh, that's why you wrote back to us.
Because I was member of this Swiss military bicycle soldiers.
Wow. How long were you involved?
I was involved from 86 to 96, 10 years.
Interesting. Can you tell me how you became involved?
Because I said I want to do something... outside, outdoors, physical, do some physical things.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted, and my boss in the office said it's a good thing to go to the bicycle soldiers.
Why did he recommend it?
I don't know. I only said I'm not a technical man, mm-hmm. but I like to do physical things.
Mm-hmm.
And cycle soldiers are really a very physical unit.
Wow, I would imagine. Did you were you riding a bicycle before you joined the
yes.
bicycle units?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I did a lot of races.
Mm-hmm.
Some races I did, and I like to go by bike every time.
You were doing bicycle races?
Some, but not a lot.
Ah, okay. Excellent. So maybe you can tell me about your experience in the bicycle regiments. We're very curious about the drills that you did and the type of training, the special training that you guys were doing.
I think, first of all, as I should say, bicycle soldiers are like infantry.
Hmm.
They're infantry, but they are moving.
Mm-hmm.
They are moving without cars. They have guns, they have machine guns, they have, how can I say, minenwerfer, mine, oh, this more.
How do you spell it in French?
En français,
c'est quoi?
French. Artillery, petite artillery.
Okay.
Artillery.
Yes, so artillery. Small,
yes, but
like
mine, avec little mean. And
oh, mines.
Yes, and I think the unit is really was quick.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, what I said, without cars, we have really a lot of guns with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we could reach about 50, 60, 80 kilometers in quick time. The machine gun was on the bicycle.
Wow. There,
that was 26 kilos.
Mm-hmm.
To the bike who was 26 kilos.
Okay.
Then one who was with the machine gun, he had 52 kilos.
Wow.
And then himself.
Oh, wow. The 26 kilos themselves.
The old one. And the old one that was built original of 95.
Okay.
And then in 1993, we get a new one. The old one that has no...
You couldn't change...
The new one had seven possibility to...
Oh,
to
gears. Seven gears to change the speed, yes?
And the old one had only one.
It only had one?
Yes.
Wow.
Therefore, sometimes we should go by foot.
Yes, maybe walk up the hill with the bike. Wow.
Yes.
I wanted to ask you also, you said the machine guns were mounted on the bicycle. Were they actually... could you fire the machine gun while you ride?
No.
Okay.
No.
And they...
That wasn't possible.
Okay. No. Maybe safer.
Yes.
How many people were in the regiment?
In the whole Swiss Army, there were only three regiments. Three bicycle regiments, that means about 3,000. That means in the whole Swiss Army, there were only 3,000.
Wow.
Bicycle soldiers.
Okay. And
because in the Swiss Army, there's a milice organization.
Mm-hmm.
And every man has to enjoy the army. And therefore, 3,000 is really a little unit.
We call it conscription in English, when everyone has to join. And
in
Switzerland, it's only men, is it? Or are women...
No, it's women too.
Oh, really? How long do people serve? How many years?
Actually, it is until they are 33 years, 32 years.
Wow.
If they are 32 years old,
mm-hmm.
then it is in the reserve.
Oh, interesting. I want to ask you if you can tell me more about your experiences, because it's very interesting for us, I think, to think of a bicycle as such a flexible tool and can be used in so many different contexts. So can you tell us more about your experience, some of the... I assume that there were no conflicts that the bike regiments were used in. So when you would go to work during the day, what would your day consist of when you were a bicycle soldier? What did you do during the day?
Yes, we normally start in the morning and had a little 10 or 20 kilometers to make, and then we had exercises like infantry soldiers.
Okay.
And normally in every repetition course we make a really great displacement. Yes, about 100 and 150 or 200 kilometers in one day.
Mm-hmm. Right, with lots of equipment on too.
Yes.
Wow. And so you would kind of, I guess it was maneuvers, you would travel around the area a little bit. Did you stay on the military base, or did you kind of travel through parts of Switzerland?
Yes, that's for me it's a really important thing. In this way, I really saw a lot of Switzerland by bike.
Wow, bicycle touring.
And I liked that, because if you are in the car, you don't see a lot of the country, but on the bike, you have time to look.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore we saw really a lot of things in Switzerland, and I liked it really much because it's also a good thing to sit on the bike. You can sometimes you can have your own thinking, and you can remember some things. It was for me a good time.
Wow. And I guess you folks would camp out? You would make camp at night?
I don't understand.
You would travel, say, 100, 200 kilometers, then stop, then make camp, make an army camp, and then continue the next day? Or would you go back?
Yes. Okay. Like this, or we make a circle and came back to the bivouac or something.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you miss it very much.
Yes.
Well,
I really liked it.
I want to ask you then, because it doesn't exist anymore, why was it stopped? Because in 2001 they started to phase it out. In 2003 it was completely, we say, disbanded. Why was that?
That was that's really difficult to explain, because that's a political thing, because they thought in the politicians thought, and the military specialists thought it's no sense to have bicycle soldiers anymore, because in the modern tactics and the modern war, in the modern situation of war, there is no use for bicycle soldiers.
Sure. Do you know what happened to the bicycles after?
Yes. Every member of Swiss Army bicycle soldier could have his bike.
Oh.
So I have my bike.
You have your bike?
Yes, naturally. It's my bike.
Do you...
I go every morning, almost every morning I go with the bike to the railway station, and then by railway station to the work, by railway to the work.
Wow.
I use it almost every day.
That's lovely. What does it look like, your bicycle?
The newer one is 26 kilo two. Mm-hmm. It's green.
Mm-hmm.
And it has in front and in back has two possibilities to put things on.
Okay, like baskets maybe.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, that's lovely that you still get to ride it every day.
Yes, if I can. Yes.
Are you still in the military?
Yes, but I'm now in another. I'm now chief of a special unit for history unit for archives.
Wow.
It's really a special thing in the Joint Chief of Staff.
Wow. Well, you must know then about the history of the bicycle infantry. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
About
the history of the bicycle regiment, why it was started, maybe who were some of the people?
First of all, they were only this word I don't know. They were only to put and to give information from here to there.
Hmm.
You know, like the birds. Before the First World War.
Oh, I see. Like messengers, to send messages,
yes, messenger.
And couriers.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So before the First World War, then the bicycle regiments were designed to carry information and messages.
Yes. And then afterwards, it became really infantry units on the bike.
Hmm. What's the advantage? What's the tactical advantage of a bicycle unit? Why is a bicycle unit stronger in some situations than, say, using regular foot infantry or using tanks? Why would someone, why would a commander want to use a bicycle regiment?
Yeah. Hmm. I think, like I said, because they were really quick, they don't use to have cars with, to put the guns with.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't make noise.
Ah.
Yes, we have a tank, he make noise. And
yes.
We don't make noise.
Wow.
You understand?
Yes, I know. I
think
understand.
That was it. And we were quick, and we could go on the streets if they are little or large, no problem. Yes, we are. That was it. Was a really moving unit.
Wow, I want to ask you too what the reaction of people in Switzerland was when they would see a regiment, a bicycle regiment, coming into their town. What was that like for you?
It was sometimes really special because people came to the street and looked like it was a bicycle.
Like a parade. Like a parade?
Yes. Sometimes the people was really astonished about us because it's really special. They came to the street and looked at us because, yes, it's special to see soldiers on a bicycle and have guns with them. Sometimes it was really, they looked and were astonished.
Wow. And do you have special uniforms that were different from other?
No.
Just the same thing?
No.
So that's so interesting.
Like the other ones.
Did you have modifications for your pants so they don't get stuck in the bike, or?
Yes.
C'est comme le jeu.
Bicycle pants.
Yeah, did you have special pants or trousers, anything like that?
Yes, but under the military uniform.
Okay.
Because for the arsehole. No.
Yes, exactly. You have to travel in comfort. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I so much appreciate you talking to us today, and I'm sure that this has been very interesting for me and for people listening. Is there anything else that you would like to add about the bicycle regiments or bicycles in general?
Oh, that's no. I think I said the things I had to say. And if you are interested to have some documentation, let me know.
Okay.
We could send you some photocopies or documents about this unit if you are interested.
That would be fabulous. We would really love that. And you've got David's email address. If you have any photos that we could put on our website, that would be super too. If you are in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, we would love to go for a bicycle ride.
Yes.
And if we come to Switzerland, we can maybe go for a ride.
Yes.
What part of Switzerland do you live in?
In Canton of Bern.
Okay.
In the Emmental, where the cheese is coming from.
Yes, I know Emmental cheese.
Emmental cheese.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful. It must be good protein for bicycle soldiers to eat Emmental cheese. So thank you very much again.
Thank you very much, and I wish you a lovely day.
Okay, thank you. And that was such a lovely gentleman to talk to. Again, that was Stefan Scherer. What a great guy. So I hope this has been an interesting show for everyone listening out there. We are going to do our best to do another installment of Bicycles in the Military because we've got some leads and we're going to follow them. Again, I'd like to wish everyone a happy Black History Month. One other event in light of that I'd like to announce is at the Vancouver East Cultural Center. It's going to be Remembering Hogan's Alley and the Black Urban Landscape. Hogan's Alley is an alleyway that's just to the, it's half a block south of the Adenac Bike Route, and that used to be the biggest black neighborhood in Western Canada up until it was bulldozed to try to connect Highway 1 with the waterfront, which happily was averted by the residents of Strathcona. Unfortunately, that neighborhood was a casualty of that activity, you can go and see. I don't actually know what the presentation is going to be all about, but it should be very interesting. You can do an internet search under Hogan's Alley if you'd like to see some photographs of the neighborhood at that time right by the Georgia Viaduct entrance there. One other event to introduce is Midnight Mass, which is a bike ride done in critical mass style at nighttime. And it's the second and fourth Thursday of the month. Everybody meets at 11:45 p.m. and we ride at midnight. The next one's coming up February 22nd. We meet at Grandview Park. That's on Commercial Drive at about Charles. Bring your bike. You might want to bring something warm to drink and wear your gloves. Speaking of critical mass, just to mention briefly that actually critical mass has been studied as a military tactic. The Washington Post did a report about the U.S. Defense Department studying critical mass bike rides, swarming of bikes as a military tactic. So not only is it good for speed and leaving no heat traces and traveling quietly and not needing petroleum, but swarming and the future of conflict was a report that was... put together. If you'd like to find out more information, I suggest a Google search. Another thing you might want to look up is a book called The Bicycle in Wartime, an Illustrated History, and that's put out by a man named Jim Fitzpatrick. And so that'll be another place for your history buffs, you can find out more information. So thank you very much to everybody. Have a good, safe 2 weeks. We'll be back after a lot of sunshine and rain, and we're going to go out with a variation on Buffalo Soldiers. Thank you very much.
In the heart of America, stolen from Africa, brought to America, fighting an arrival, fighting for survival. And he was taken from Africa, brought to America, fighting an arrival, fighting for survival. Said he was a Buffalo soldier, trained like a Rasta.
Buffalo soldier,
in the heart of America.
Goodbye.